Hey, good morning, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trip Tower overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue. Here till 5, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Our phone number and text, 312-981-7200. Use that number a little bit later on to get in your request for Fly Jams Friday, 312-981-7200. A lot of our regular features are coming up, including You Big Dummy. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies will tell you exactly what's going to be happening on the terrific show Outside the Loop Radio, hosted by Mike Steven, produced by Andy Herman. You can hear it every morning, every Saturday morning here on WGN at 6 a.m. And lots of other stuff coming up as well. So there you go. All right, we're going to talk about some offbeat holidays that you can celebrate in March. And so let's see. There's always at least five or six weird ones that we talk about each month. Now, the first one, we missed out on this, Esmeralda.
What was it?
March 1st was National Pig Day.
Oh, like appreciating them alive?
It doesn't have a description, but I think appreciating them alive and also appreciating pork chops, bacon, you know, ham, stuff like that.
Wouldn't they say pork, though?
I guess. I guess National Pig Day. Well, although I don't care.
Yeah, because no one says, yeah, but no one goes, yeah, give me some of those pig ribs.
Yeah, that's true.
Pig is usually referred to as an alive animal.
Yeah, I'd eat a whole pig. Actually, aren't they bringing a whole pig in to Patty's show like next week or something?
It's funny you mentioned that. We'll be learning more about that in the Nick D. Show Spy segment.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. So we missed out on National Pig Day. I guess what did people do on March 4th? Did they rent Babe?
I guess eat pork.
They watched Babe and ate a pork sandwich.
Oh.
Got a big plate of bacon in front of them while they watched Babe, Pig in the City.
Although my favorite, I say that line all the time, is the pig line. Oh, no, I can't remember it.
That'll do, pig.
Yeah.
That'll do, pig.
Just do that to people.
Yeah.
That'll do, pig.
Yeah, I was walking down the street and I saw James Cromwell. This is a true story. I saw James Cromwell. I was coming back from the River East Theater. And I saw James Cromwell. Do you know James Cromwell?
Is this recently? Within like a few years?
A few years, yeah.
I saw him too one day.
He was in town shooting a film.
Yeah.
And I go, that'll do, pig. And he looked at me and he smiled, you know. And then after I said that and I walked by him, I was like, what a moron. He's probably heard that 50 times a day for the past 15 years, and I'm that guy.
It would have been great if you really got up to him and just right in his ear.
Yeah.
That'll do, pig.
Yeah, that would do. Yeah, he'd punch me right in the mouth. By the way, he's about 8 feet tall.
He is. He stuck out like a sore thumb.
Yo, no, he's a big dude, and he was wearing like a weird hat. So like if he was trying to be incognito, it wasn't working. And it's difficult for a guy of that stature to be incognito, but it doesn't help that you're wearing a goofy-looking hat. Because that hat...
Well, he's British or European.
The hat is, like, floating above, you know, everybody else walking down the street. And it's the first thing you see. Like, look at the size of that guy and his... Oh, it's James Cromwell.
It's Babe's owner.
Yeah. He was also Stretch Cunningham on All in the Family. James Cromwell. He was Archie's working buddy. Co-worker.
He's been in a lot of movies where he's mean, right?
He's a bad guy, yeah.
He's like a bad guy.
Yeah. He's very cool. And, you know, it's like that story. Like, I'm one of those idiots who actually said that'll do, pig, to James Cromwell. So I'm an idiot.
We should come up with a list of all the celebrity that you've walked up to and quoted lines from their movies.
It's not that many.
Because it's Mahoney.
Mahoney, I'm Incarcerated Lloyd.
And then Cromwell.
Cromwell. I didn't quote anything with Edward Herman when we chased him into the bathroom to pee with him. We didn't quote any lines from the movie with that.
You didn't quote to John C. Reilly.
I did not quote to John. I told him that he ruled in Magnolia. I just said that he was one of my favorite actors of all time and that he ruled in Magnolia. I did with Robert Duvall, Bobby D. We quoted the Chihuahua from Taco Bell. I didn't quote from his movies, but we both went, Yo quiero Taco Bell.
Did you have anything for Busey?
Busey. I did not quote anything. I'm trying to remember if I quoted anything to him. But I just said I told him I loved him in Point Break, and then he went nuts.
See, but that would have been a perfect place to do something. Point Break. I mean, he's got lines.
He's got great lines in that movie. Yeah.
I can't believe you didn't
Well, I mean, Utah Gimme Two is like the greatest, one of the greatest lines ever uttered in the history of film. But I didn't know how he was going to. I wouldn't want to do anything like, you know, like that would set Gary Busey off.
Wait, but when you met him, did you know he was crazy already?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Was that? Okay.
No, he's had a reputation for being nuts for a long time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I wanted to tell him how much I appreciated his work, but I knew he was crazy. He's gotten crazier over the years. He was always eccentric. He had a motorcycle accident where he like had some severe, and this is not a joke. He had some severe head trauma. He had a motorcycle accident, had to have surgery, and he's never really been the same since then. And he has gotten a little bit crazier every year. He's always been eccentric and weird. And, you know, I mean, when I hung out with him, it was 1992, so it was a long time ago. You know, what are we talking, 25 years? It's been 25 years since I hung out. So it's the 25th anniversary of Reservoir Dogs, by the way. And I'm screening that Tuesday night if you want to come to the Movie Go Theater. Go to Fandango.com, reserve your seats now. They're going pretty fast, only $10, parking free. But it's the 25th anniversary of the week I hung out with Gary Busey.
Wait, and when you stopped hanging out with him.
Well, he left town.
Were you guys like, write me. Here's my number.
Oh, yeah, no, how does that goodbye go?
No,
right.
No, yeah. I mean, he gave me
his handshake or a hug.
Oh, a hug. It was a total. Oh, we were hugging a lot.
I imagine he just disappeared.
What do you mean? Like physically disappeared?
Like you were yeah, sitting somewhere and
I
then
prefer
he turned
that
and
idea.
He's just gone.
You guys have like one last bender. You're passed out on the couch in the hotel room, and when you wake up, he's checked out.
He's checked out, and I'm in the he checks out and leaves me with the bill.
Right. Housekeeping's knocking on the door.
No, that's not what happened. We were in the hotel. We were in the hotel bar. The last night we hung out, we were in the hotel bar, and he was flying out the next morning because he had finished his time shooting the I Broke My Arm, I Can Throw Real Fast, I'm a Kid, Rookie of the Year movie. But no, we were in the hotel bar, Westin Hotel across from the Hancock. I don't remember what the name of the bar is, but it's probably changed since then. Again, it was 25 years ago. Is the Westin still there, Dan? What would that street be, Delaware?
Let me see if I can find out.
Okay.
It's either Delaware or Oak.
Oak is one street. I think it's south of. I think Oak is one street south. Because that's the Oak is where the Esquire Theater used to be, and that's where we saw Under Siege, where I saw that movie with Gary Busey sitting next to me, commenting on his scenes as they were happening.
Yeah, it is on Delaware.
Delaware. Okay, so is it still? It's still there, the Westin? I don't go down. I mean, you know, I haven't gone down Lakeshore Drive in a long time.
I think so. It's just fancier now, fancier looking.
But yeah, the Westin Hotel. That's where we were, and it was just like, hey, I'll see you sometime. And he gave me his number. And this is like no cell phone. This was like a number. It was probably like his business office. I never called it.
Why didn't you ever call it?
I don't know, because I'm back. What am I going to do? Call him? I don't get to L.A. every couple of weeks.
Was he ever in any movies that you would want to interview him?
Oh my God, are you kidding?
No, from that point to now that you could.
Oh sure.
The number. To
wait,
be
wait,
like,
is he,
hey,
what are
do
we
you
talking
be on
about?
My
from,
show
from 1992 on, would Gary Busey? What would he have done? That I'm going to look him up right now.
I'm just thinking like there was never a point like I have his number. I could totally ask to see if he wants to talk on the show.
No, I never, you know, it's weird. I never even thought about that.
While you're looking that up, 815 reminds us that you yelled, "You're Omar," to Michael K. Williams.
Oh, I did. I said, actually, I said, "You're effing Omar."
Oh, boy.
I did. And he laughed and shook my hand. Now, to be fair, let me set this up a little bit. I had had a few cocktails. And I was actually leaving. I was leaving a bar on Lake Street.
Lake and what? That Monk Bar?
Yes, that's it.
It's not monks.
It's not monks. It's something like that.
But it's like, it looks like, it's very quiet.
Yes.
Like,
yes. That's where I was coming from. And I was walking to the Gene Siskel Film Center to go to a screening. I was going to see Winnebago Man, the documentary about the dude who's in. Have you ever seen that footage, Esmeralda? We talked about this, right?
I've seen like bits and pieces. I haven't seen the actual documentary.
Well, the documentary is, you know, is great. But just the footage of him, of that guy, the Winnebago Man, just swearing every time he makes a mistake. So I was going to see the documentary about that guy, and I'm walking down Lake Street, and, you know, you don't mistake Omar. That's, you know, you don't. And I was, and I, you know, you guys all know how I feel about The Wire, and my favorite character on The Wire is Omar, which means he's my favorite character in the history of television. And I go, "You're effing Omar!" And then he started laughing. We shook hands. I said, "You're great, man." He's like, "Thanks a lot, buddy." And then he walked away, and he was with another guy. I was like, "Man, that was Omar." Yeah, but that's not a line from his, from, you know, from, he, it's not a line he said.
But it's still that thing of you're telling him something.
He already knows. Yeah. What has Gary Busey done since, let's see, Surviving the Game? That was the movie where they chase after Ice-T. He was in Drop Zone. He was in Black Sheep with Chris Farley. He was on the TV series Rough Rider. Oh, he was in Lost Highway. Oh, that's one of my favorite David Lynch movies.
And you never thought to call him. No. Although I can see why, because maybe you thought, well, that's personal.
Yeah.
He gave it to me in a friend way.
And also, to be quite honest with you, if I were to call him, he probably wouldn't even remember me.
Do you think he'd remember being in Chicago?
Yeah. I mean, when we were hanging out, he actually told me, and I told this to Jim Ryan, who was in. You were out. Jim Ryan was in, and he's got an autographed copy of DC Cab, autographed by Mr. T. And he told the story about how he met Mr. T, and he autographed his copy of his DVD of DC Cab. Gary Busey is in the movie DC Cab. And I told Jim, I was like, I have a little deal here that Gary Busey, when I talked to Gary Busey, we were in a group of people that we were at China Club, where he liked to hang out there. We were at China Club, and there's a group of people around us, and we're talking, and somebody mentioned DC Cab, and Gary Busey goes, "I have no memory of making that movie whatsoever." And if you see the movie, you can see, yeah, I think this guy is in pretty bad shape in this movie. So, anyway. But no, it's just weird. I just never thought of it. So. How did we get to this? It was National Pig Day. How did that?
Oh, because of James
Cromwell.
Spoke
up to Cromwell.
Oh, Cromwell. Yeah. That all led up to Gary Busey. I don't know what's going on with this show sometimes, I swear. All right. We got a break here, and then we'll come back. We'll go through more offbeat holidays for March. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. All the regular features are coming up. Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, You Big Dummy, Fly Jams Friday, and all that stuff. So I was just thinking, you know, that since I don't drink anymore, celebrities are much safer walking down the street or being in bars now. If I happen to be in, I don't go to bars anymore, but if I happen to be in a place, they're much safer now that I don't get bombed. So, I'm not going to walk up to somebody and scream in their face, "I'm incarcerated, Lloyd," if I'm not drunk. If a celebrity has to urinate, I will now not run to the bathroom to urinate next to them. I won't do that now. So, all right. Are you ready for more holidays here, Esmeralda?
Yeah.
All right. March 5th, and that would be Monday, no, Sunday, is National Poutine Night Day.
Oh, I like that.
It says, "Embrace this concoction, which consists of fries, cheese curds, and gravy from our Canadian neighbors with open arms and open mouths on this day." Well, shouldn't every day be that day?
Definitely.
March 8th, National Proofreading Day. You know what would be really funny if on this piece of paper that was misspelled? Wouldn't that be fantastic if it was like a prof reading day?
You could proofread it on that day.
On that day. National Proofreading Day. March 13th, National Open an Umbrella Indoors Day. Oh!
Now, are you one of those crazy people that gets all freaked out?
No. I mean, I have superstitions about theater. So I guess I am an idiot, but I have superstitions about theater.
I have superstitions. The umbrella one just doesn't.
No, the umbrella. How are you going to dry out an umbrella?
Exactly. You got to open it up and then let it sit. And if you let it sit outside, well, useless.
Right.
And or if it's in a public area, someone will steal it.
Yes. I mean, you got to, you know. So, no, I'm not one of those people. But I will say this. If I'm just walking down the street and there's a ladder, I'm going to walk around it. I'm not going to walk under it. But I think that has more to do with safety.
Right.
You know, like the ladder might fall. There might be something on top of the ladder that falls and it might bust my face. But even if nobody's on the ladder, I still walk around it. I don't at all have a problem with black cats. I've owned 3 black cats in my life.
Black cats are so pretty.
They're gorgeous. And they can cross my path anytime they want. I've never broken a mirror, but I'm sure I'd probably freak out if I did. You know what I mean? Just for that millisecond, because that superstition has been so stamped into our brains that if I did make the mistake of breaking a mirror, I'd be like, oh, no. I've stepped on a lot of cracks. My mom's back is fine. So I. But no, the umbrella indoors thing, I've done it. I have done it because I've done it, you know, to dry out the umbrella. So. March 15th is Brutus Day. Beware the Ides of March. That's Brutus Day.
The band?
No, the guy that... The band Brutus? Or do you mean Popeye's enemy?
The band Ides of March.
Oh, Ides of March. I was going to say. Okay, beware the Ides of March. Let's call Jim right now. See what color his hair is.
I think it's purple and not our Northwestern.
I just think it's purple in honor of him being Jim Peterik. I think that's probably what it is. March 15th is True Confessions Day. Speaking of shadowy plots and shocking revelations, March 15th is also the day to confess all of your deepest, darkest secrets. Ooh. It's not a day to watch the Robert Duvall, Robert De Niro movie from 1981. In which De Niro played a priest. Nobody knows that movie, True Confessions. Nobody. It's a really great film, and it made like a buck at the box office. It's a very twisted movie, and I was surprised it didn't do well. It was a very slow, sort of a languid film, but De Niro and Duvall are both great in it. March 16th is Lips Appreciation Day. Pucker up and give your pout some well-deserved love and attention. So appreciate your lips on March 16th. March 16th is also Curlew Day. Curlews are long-billed birds that live in the central and western parts of North America. Am I pronouncing that right? C-U-R-L-E-W. Curlew? Anybody ever heard of that? You ever heard of that bird?
No.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
I'm looking at it. Nothing special.
Way to dismiss an entire species. Yeah, nothing special.
Oh, you got a long bill. Good job.
Isn't that weird, though, that it's a long-billed bird also on Lips Appreciation Day? They don't have lips, but that's their mouth. March 18th is Play the Recorder Day. Oh, my God.
I used to be really good at playing the recorder.
Seriously?
Because we had to play it when we were, like, fifth grade.
Yeah.
That was part of music class.
Yeah. It says, limber up those fingers and celebrate the ubiquitous childhood instrument.
But I could play...
like some Sabbath?
Ode to Joy.
Ooh.
I remember, in fifth grade, I was able to read music and... do all that stuff now.
Well, we need to bring a recorder in here and hear some Ode to Joy.
I can't do nothing now.
Well, that's a double negative, so that means you can. I diagram sentences. Dan, What about you? Did you play the recorder when you were a youngster?
This was my green walls moment from my grade school and high school. Because somebody's like, hey, did you play the recorder in grade school? I'm like, I pressed play. Yeah, I played the recorder in high school. And they're like, no, the flute. And I'm like, what? And they're like, a recorder. And I think I argued with Eileen about it for like 10 minutes.
As an adult?
There's nothing called a recorder. The recorder is the tape recorder. She literally took a recorder class in Ireland when she studied abroad for a semester. And I was just giving her a holy L on it.
Yeah.
And then I...
Not then you discovered that you were wrong. Yeah, that's the green walls moment. That's pretty funny. Vic, did you ever play a recorder when you were a kid? Have recorder lessons?
Oh, you talking about the little wooden...
Yeah.
You know, Jeannie just bought me one for Christmas.
Well, now, Kona, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
She bought you a recorder for Christmas?
Yeah, because I mentioned that I like... indigenous Ecuadorian music, so she bought me a recorder. It's a little different. But...
Wait a minute. That you like indigenous Ecuadorian music?
Yes. When I was there in Ecuador, I was on a beach, and this family came up. They were indigenous Ecuadorian people. Manta. And... they came up and started playing this music. It was beautiful. And I smoked back then. I was smoking a cigarette on the beach. She came down. I swear to you, she came down, didn't speak a word of English, took a drag of my cigarette, and went back to her family, and they kept playing music. It was amazing. So Jeannie bought me a recorder.
Bought you a recorder. You should bring it in so Esmeralda can play Ode to Joy.
She plays the recorder.
Yeah, she just
said it. Wait, are you like the thing, and it looks like pipes? All put together.
What?
Vic. Because I'm looking at pictures of people playing Ecuadorian.
They had some big wooden, I don't know what they're called.
Well, that's not a recorder.
No, it's not. No. Jeannie bought me a
recorder. Oh, wait, I see.
She brought you a recorder even though that's not what they play.
There are different.
Oh, I see.
They got different stuff. There's also a recorder-esque looking thing.
What's the name of that instrument, Esmeralda? You're looking it up with all the little... do they have a name?
I'm looking at pictures.
Oh.
Just pictures of it.
Can you click onto it so that you can see, like, what it's called? Because that's a major plot point right now on this season of Baskets.
I think it's just a flute.
Yeah.
I don't think it... it probably has a name, but...
Yeah. I think they're calling it flute on Baskets, but I thought maybe it had a name. But it's a plot point on Baskets. One of the Zach Galifianakis twins, Chip Baskets, has his friends who just died in a train wreck. He has his flute, and he's walking around with it. All right, I got this thing. We have to break. I'm sorry, I got completely derailed when indigenous Ecuadorian music became Vic's new thing. We have to take a break here. The news is up next.
That's it, man. It's missing one thing. They had this wooden thing they would turn upside down. You've probably seen them in truck stops. I don't know. It sounds like sand and pebbles falling.
Right.
Yeah. Good stuff.
That's good.
So Vic a little acoustic guitar, maybe.
Vic is dancing around the newsroom because he loves indigenous Ecuadorian music. That's a pan flute, by the way. It's a pan flute. That's the instrument that is in Baskets this season, and the instrument that Esmeralda was looking at on the intranets. That's Nick DiGilio here. That's 720 WGN.
People are also telling us to check out a commercial for a Zamfir.
Oh, Zamfir, pan flautist. Yes. He's a pan flautist. Zamfir, you know. About a year before Johnny Carson retired, almost every night during his monologue between like 1991 and 1992, he had a Zamfir joke. Like in every because I believe that Zamfir, the pan flautist, was the height of his popularity was the early 90s. because I'm not kidding. When I was watching the reruns, because now Antenna TV is showing the reruns of the reruns, so I've seen them all. But when I was watching the fresh ones, the fresh reruns that hadn't been shown in years, I noticed a pattern. Like any episodes that took place in like 1991 or into 1992, he had a ton of Zamfir jokes.
I have the commercial for it's best of.
All right, we'll play this for Vic, and he can order it.
You've heard his hauntingly beautiful music in movies, on radio and TV. He's sold over 20 million records round the world. His name is Zamfir, master of the pan flute, that magical instrument with the unforgettable sound. Now in his magnificent all-new collection, Zamfir plays the world's most beautiful melodies.
Is that the rose?
A world of haunting, tranquil beauty.
This is the part where they're listing all the titles, so it did not identify.
Your best-loved melodies. Richly orchestrated in Zamfir's all-new two-record treasury. But remember, this magnificent collection is not sold in stores. Please stay tuned to order.
Use your credit card and save COD charges by calling toll-free 1-800-421-2000. Or to save all additional charges, send check or money order for only $12.98 for two albums or two cassettes, or $19.98 for two compact discs too. Zamfir, P.O. Box 8449, Atlanta, Georgia. Remember, that's Zamfir.
Out of Atlanta?
449 Atlanta, Georgia.
All right. Zamfir, everybody. Did you jot that P.O. box number down, Vic?
I don't have anything against that guy, but that's not exactly the type of music I'm talking about.
You mean him doing a pan flute version of The Rose is not what you're talking about? You don't think that's indigenous?
Right. Maybe Atlanta. That's not Atlanta, Ecuador. That's Atlanta, Georgia. Nick.
You didn't like Zamfir's interpretation of a Bette Midler song? That doesn't do it for you.
I think that Ecuadorian family actually did cover a Bette Midler song that day.
Well, they were on a beach. Maybe they covered the song from Beaches. Maybe they covered Wind Beneath My Wings. Oh, my God. Yeah, Zamfir was a target in Johnny Carson's monologues, seriously, like every other night during the early 90s. Jeez. A couple more. You all right, Dan? I don't even know what's happening now. We got a few more of these holidays that we would get to, and then we got we'll tell you what's up on Outside the Loop Radio, and then we'll do You Big Dummy. So March 22nd is National Goof Off Day. Relax, take a break, play hooky, or just goof off in your own quiet way at your desk.
Is every day goof off day for us?
On this damn show it is.
I was going to say, is March 3rd between 3:20 and 3:40 goof off day?
Hey, the following day, ooh, I like this one. March 23rd is National Tamale Day.
Shout out to Claudio, the tamale guy.
Oh, Claudio.
Goes from bar to bar.
Yeah. Does he still do that? I haven't been to a bar in almost 2 years.
Yeah, he does.
Does he?
I'll be in a bar and just hanging out, and then I turn around and go, oh, Claudio.
He's here. Okay, I love that guy.
Yeah, he's my buddy.
He's the best. March 25th is Pecan Day. Also, March 25th is Tolkien Reading Day. This annual holiday was started by the Tolkien Society back in 2003 and gives you a great excuse to start reading the entire Hobbit and Lord of the Rings saga again, or for the first time. Esmeralda, that's a note to you.
Should I? I'm not going to discriminate. The movies just seem, I can't sit around and watch a movie that long.
Mm-hmm.
I get antsy.
Okay.
But the book, you know, you can read it at your own pace.
I was not crazy. I'm not crazy about The Hobbit.
About any of them?
No. Just The Hobbit.
What about The
Hobbit? The Lord of the Rings is different. Lord of the Rings, those books are great.
Okay. Are they very technical?
They're kind of.
Like about everybody?
Yeah, and there are long stretches where the hobbits sing.
How long was it? Like half a page?
No, more
and
than
the hobbits singing.
No, and they have the lyrics to the songs.
Oh,
yeah. The March 30th is grass is always browner on the other side of the fence. Okay. So those are just some of the days that you can celebrate. And again, National Goof Off Day, I believe, began a little earlier today. There's no National Zamfir Pan Flautist Day.
You get that going.
We have to start that, Dan. We have to get a Zamfir national holiday for Zamfir. All right. Okay, we got our regular features coming up. You Big Dummy is coming up in a couple of minutes. But there's a really great radio show that is on every Saturday morning at 6 a.m. It's hosted by our old friend Mike Steven, who used to produce my show. And it's produced by Andy Herman, who used to produce my show. And by the way, I just saw that Antenna TV, Dan. It's the 40th anniversary of, God, this makes me feel, it's the 40th anniversary of Three's Company. So next weekend, they're doing a 40-hour marathon of Antenna TV, of Three's Company, and the Johnny Carsons that they show that weekend. One's going to have Larry Klein on it. One's going to have John Ritter on it.
Oh, very nice.
And I'm sure that Andy Herman helped program that.
One of our texters was like, just in case he didn't know that, I was just like, he probably helped plan it.
No, he did. He flew out to L.A. Andy flew out to L.A. for the reunion. He was beside himself. Beside himself. So, anyway, Outside the Loop Radio, every Saturday morning at 6 o'clock. Here's what you're going to hear tomorrow. Mike talks with Chicago Housing Initiative organizer Ben Goldsmith about the controversial push for affordable housing in Jefferson Park. Hey, speaking of Jefferson Park, that's where we're going to be this evening. The Gale Street Inn in beautiful Jefferson Park. Check out galestreet.com, greatest restaurant on the planet. He then visits with a senior from Oak Park and River Forest High School and the principal of St. Louis about Roses for Austin after-school program. And then he'll chat with our good friend Plastic Crime Wave, also known as Steve Krakow, about one-armed harmonica player John Big Wrencher for this week's The Secret History of Chicago Music. Hey, I wonder if Steve ever profiled Zamfir Pan Flautist. All right. We have to break, and then when we come back from the break, we will begin reading the dummy stories and giving our votes coming up here on WGN.